So about a year ago, we started in Genesis and walked through the entire Bible looking at all the prophecies chronologically. And now we have made it to the book of Revelation, and we're studying this in a little bit more depth, which is quite a blessing. And so we started looking at the seven sealed book. Remember that only the line of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was worthy to open. And we haven't got to that seventh seal yet, but here in chapter 7, we see the 144,000 sealed during the tribulation period, sealed with the seal of God on their foreheads. And these are Jewish men that will be preaching the gospel during the tribulation period that are called out by God. And so we had a good look at them last week, and we'll finish the chapter this morning. So who would read verses 14 through 17 to get us started, and then we'll pray and finish up this chapter this morning. Any volunteers? Beryl, thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we look into your precious word. Use it in our lives to grow us, to teach us, to change us. We give you this time. Pray that Jesus will be magnified in it. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so a lot of blessings listed here for those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And I believe that these would apply to us as well. So notice some of the things that we have to look forward to. Serve him night and day in his temple. Hunger no more. Thirst, not thirst anymore. No issues with temperature. And it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now we'll see some of this repeated when we get to the end of the Revelation in chapter 21. But these are a lot of blessings for those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who have the white robes of righteousness from Jesus Christ. And so obviously we find that there is a temple in heaven because it's mentioned here. And the Bible actually talks quite a bit about this temple. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8 and have a look at what the Bible has to say about this temple in heaven. Hebrews chapter 8, who would read verses 4 and 5? We'll have a look at this temple in heaven. Any volunteers? Hebrews 8, 4 and 5. Philip, thank you. So a shadow of heavenly things. So when God gave them the instructions for building the tabernacle on earth, it was a shadow of the temple in heaven. And then let's go to now Revelation chapter 11, and we'll see it mentioned again. Revelation 11 and verse 19. Who would read that, please? The temple in heaven. Mark, thank you.
The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail.
So there it is again. The temple of God was opened in heaven. So there is a temple in heaven, and these 144,000, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who have these white robes of righteousness, the Bible says, will serve God day and night in his temple. What a blessing for them. And, you know, it looks like when we get to heaven, a lot of people think, what are we going to do for a million years? One of the things it looks like we're going to do is serve the Lord. That's a good thing. So if we're going to be serving the Lord in heaven, do you think we should be serving the Lord here?
Amen.
We're going to be worshiping the Lord in heaven. Should we be worshiping the Lord here? Amen. Singing praises to God in heaven. Should we be singing praises here? You see, we need to be getting ready. Amen. And one of the things we need to be doing is serving the Lord. You know, doesn't the Bible tell us, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're here to serve Jesus Christ. He's saved us and He's called us to be His servant. And God wants us to serve Him here because we're going to be serving Him there. So that's a great reminder. Now this passage also talks about one of the offices of Jesus Christ, which is which one that's emphasized here in verses 16 and 17? The Lamb, right? The Lamb of God. They shall hunger no more, thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Now, why would saints need tears wiped away from their eyes? You know, we always hear about there's no tears in heaven, and it's true. Eventually. But it looks like initially, there are some tears that need to be wiped away by God. You know, we always think about, oh, there's no tears. For the eternity, amen. Because heaven wouldn't be very pleasant if we spent the whole time crying and regretting what happened on earth. But it looks like there are some initial tears. And this is mentioned in Revelation 21 as well, if you want to turn over there, which is talking about the New Jerusalem, which we will also be able to partake in. But Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So again, God mentions wiping away the tears. Now, what would a Christian initially have to cry over? Can you think of anything, Mark?
The whole gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, stubble thing.
Yep.
So if you believe you've been serving the Lord, or you've got to stand before Christ, you've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so then the Lord will judge us as to what we did with our salvation, the gifts that we have, the gifts that we've given, how we use them.
Yep. So some regrets over the judgment. What else, Beryl? People that didn't get saved. That there will definitely be tears over that. Loved ones that didn't get saved. So regrets over the judgment seat. Tears over those who didn't get saved. Can you think of anything else? Any other regrets? Kind of tied in with the judgment seat, but what about regrets over what we should have done with our time on earth as a Christian rather than what we actually did? Steve, what were you going to say? Same thing? I was reading your mind, brother. We're in tune. So there's going to be regrets, no question. And thank God He's going to wipe those tears away. Rex?
When you got in your church, and trying to explain to that the Lord, if you to listen, and they want to know, they say, oh, well, what? But after that, to me, made them realize that they're reading that the truth. One day, that will send people to judgment.
That's right. Everybody will face judgment. Praise God. Christians will face a different judgment than the unsaved. But there will be regrets. There will be tears. God, in His mercy and grace and love, will wipe those away. So that finishes chapter 7, which takes us on to chapter 8. Any thoughts or questions before we move on to chapter 8, where we see that seventh seal? There was a bit of a delay there between chapter 6 and 8 to see the 144,000 sealed. Remember, there were seven seals. We've already seen the first six in chapter 6, but now the seventh seal isn't until chapter 8 here in verse. So who would read verse 1 and 2 kind of to get us started of Revelation 8? Any volunteers to read the first two verses? Philip, thank you.
When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets.
All right, so the seventh seal brought on silence in heaven for a half an hour. Now, if that's worth writing about, what does that tell us about heaven? That silence is not normal, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't really mean anything. If it was always silent, it tells me that it's pretty much constantly filled with praise, praising the Lord, singing praises unto the Lord, and it was a strange thing to have silence, complete silence for a half hour in heaven when this seventh seal is open. And so who is the he here in chapter 8, verse 1? When he had opened the seventh seal. Who's this? Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, only he was found worthy in chapter 6. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. So it's Jesus Christ who opens the seventh seal here in chapter 8. And again, this silence is obviously not a normal thing, because it sounds like from what we've already looked at, if you look at chapter 4, verse 8, it says the four beasts, it says they at the end of the verse, they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Day and night. Constantly praising the Lord. Jackie?
I thought we didn't have night in heaven.
There is no darkness in heaven. That's true.
It's just indicating
light. It's just telling us it's a 24-hour period, I think, is what it's trying to tell us. It's just nonstop. But you're right. The Bible says there's no darkness in heaven. It's constantly light. What was I talking about? That's okay. Oh, 5:13. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 13. Every creature was in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne under the Lamb forever and ever. So it looks like, if you go to chapter 15 as well, verse 3, the Bible says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So it looks like singing and praising God is what's normally going on in heaven. So here in chapter 8, where we see this half an hour of silence, it's obviously a out of sync thing, if you will, which is why it's worth noting. So this seventh seal is obviously about to bring some major judgment. And that kind of explains the reason for the silence, is when we see what's going to follow in this seventh seal. All right, so in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 8, it says, the seven angels. Not just a random seven angels, but the seven angels. So what does that most likely tell us about these seven angels? That they have some sort of a special calling or purpose of God. Remember, there are the seraphims, there are the cherubims, there's the beasts in heaven. But it looks, and there's also, we read about Michael the archangel. But it looks like we also have it seven angels that are the seven angels. They have some sort of special purpose of God relative to this time. If you go to Revelation 5:11, there are plenty of angels. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So there's a lot of angels and a lot of creatures in heaven. But here we're talking about the seven. So these seven angels obviously have a special purpose relating to God's judgment, it looks like. And that's what's about to happen here in these chapters 8 and on is judgment. Now it mentions seven trumpets in verse 2. Now these seven trumpets are, looks like, different from the trump of God. Now we read about the trump of God in relation to the rapture twice, right? 1 Corinthians 15. But let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:52 mentions it, and also 1 Thessalonians. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 15:52. And this sounds like a special trumpet, the trump of God. It says, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this is called the last trump. And then if you go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So those two verses tie in. They're both talking about the rapture, and they both talk about this trump. One calls it the last trump. One calls it the trump of God. That seems different from these seven angels being given seven trumpets, because they're about to announce this amazing judgment. Now, there was one other time in the Bible where seven trumpets were used. Anybody think of when that was? Jericho, yep. Remember when Joshua and the people of Israel marched around Jericho seven times? The priests blew seven trumpets. And what was the result of the blowing of the seven trumpets and the shouting? Jericho fell down flat. Exactly. And judgment came upon Jericho, didn't it? These seven trumpets are about to bring God's wrath upon the earth. So there's a similarity there from Joshua chapter 6 and these seven trumpets bringing judgment and wrath from God. All right, so verse 3, who would read that for us? Get us started. Anybody? Revelation 8, 3. Thank you, Philip. So the temple, we already read there's a temple in heaven. Now we read that there's also a golden altar. It looks like one of the Old Testament altars that was at the tabernacle would have been a shadow of this golden altar in heaven. I wonder which altar that would be. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30 and see if we can find a similarity here. So Exodus chapter 30 and verses 1 to 3. Somebody read that for us. Thank you, Beryl. Now, there were a number of altars related to the tabernacle, the Old Testament, but this altar, the altar of incense, was overlaid with pure gold. And when we go to our passage here in Revelation, it's a golden altar. And what's being offered on it? Incense. So the altar of incense in the Old Testament tabernacle was a shadow of this golden altar in heaven, upon which we read about incense there in verse 3. There was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. David actually even compared prayer with incense in one of the Psalms. Let's look at it. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let's have a quick look at that. Who would read that for us? Psalm 141, verse 2. Philip, thanks. So even David had an understanding there, probably directly from God, that my prayer be as incense. And here we get to Revelation and the prayers that are offered up here in Revelation chapter 8. The Bible says on this golden altar, they're offered up with incense. Now these prayers, honestly, we don't know for sure which prayers they are. The Bible talks a lot about God remembering our prayers, keeping track of our prayers, and that should be special to us. Not only that He answers prayer, which He does, but that He even stores them up for times like this. And the Bible talks a lot about God remembering and storing up our prayers. Let's look at some scriptures on this. Psalm 31, we'll do it in scriptural order. So start in Psalm 31 and verse 22. And let's see what God has to say about these prayers that were offered up here on this golden altar of incense. So who would read Psalm 31, verse 22? We'll have a quick look at some scriptures together here about prayer. Meryl, thank you. Psalm 31, 22. Amen. Now let's go to Psalm 34, 17. Just showing that God hears our prayers. It says, "The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now go to Psalm 65 and verse 2. "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." God is a God that hears prayer. And then Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." Now let's have a look in Daniel at an example of God mentioning prayers. Daniel chapter 10, prayers being remembered. Who would read 10:12 in Daniel? Okay, Philip, thank you. Daniel 10:12, yep.
"He said, he answered me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thy tongue before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words."
So from the first day that you began to pray, Daniel, remember this angel was delayed to come to help him. It says, they were heard, your prayers were heard, and I'm coming because of those prayers, which is a real blessing. He was praying for his people. Now let's look in Luke chapter 11, some New Testament examples. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Who would read that, please? Jackie, thank you.
Okay.
All right. So Jesus says, God answers prayer. God hears prayers. And then in 1 Peter 3:12, let's turn over there. First Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. So it was just a good review for us to be reminded that God hears prayer, that God answers prayer, and which specific prayers are being offered up with this incense, we don't know. Because God doesn't tell us. But it's wonderful news that God hears our prayers. And God knows about everyone. God keeps track of them. And here, He's offering up prayers. Now, these could be representative of the prayers we see later on of the tribulation saints who are saying, Lord, how long until You avenge us? These are the people that get beheaded during the tribulation period for refusing to take the mark of the beast. And they're saying, Lord, how long? They're asking God to judge the people that cut their heads off, basically. And it could be those kind of prayers. We don't know. But it's wonderful news that God knows about them, keeps track of them. And here we see them being offered up with incense on this golden altar in the temple in heaven. And these prayers have so much power. Who would read verses 4 and 5 and we'll just see how powerful they are? Anybody? Chapter 8, verses 4 and 5 in Revelation, Mark.
The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
Sounds like prayers are powerful. Amen? Because prayers are offered unto Almighty God, who is all-powerful. And the Bible says that the smoke which came with the prayers, they mixed it with the fire and cast it to the earth. And what's to follow? Wrath and judgment. Sadly, those who are left behind will face this wrath and judgment. And again, there are those specific prayers over in chapter 6, verse 10, which I mentioned earlier. They cry with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?